Hello and good day. Welcome to the Super Good Camping Podcast. My name is Pamela.
I'm Tim.
And we are from supergoodcamping.com. We are here because we are on a mission to inspire other families to enjoy camping adventures such as we have with our kids. Today's guest is one of the two brothers that started and run a wonderful guided canoe experience company. And by guided, we mean all inclusive equipment, canoe, tent, paddle, mess kit, stove, PFD, and on food, route planning through some of the most beautiful backcountry scenery you will ever witness, and amazing campsites and amazing camping memories. Please welcome Chris Kelly from Driftwood Paddle Algonquin.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome, Chris. Hey, welcome, Chris. Welcome, welcome.
Thanks so much.
Thanks
Such
for
a pleasure
joining
to be
us.
Here. Yeah, no, this is amazing. And I'm grateful that our paths have crossed and love what you guys are doing. And I love what you stand for, getting people into the backcountry. It's definitely very much in alignment with what my brother and I stand for and why we started Driftwood Paddle.
Cool.
So a brief introduction to our audience. We heard of you through, I think, mutual friends, Diana and Andre. They're at West. Well, actually, they're at West. They're back from New Zealand right now because they just spent 2 weeks. So jealous. but we were talking, like, you should check them out. They're really cool. And so I went, well, but if you guys think they're cool, I don't have to check them out. Like, we're done.
We take your word for it.
Yeah. But I did. And yeah, I think what you guys are doing is great. So give me a loose idea about yourself, about how you guys got to 5 years ago, I guess, starting the guiding company.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. My brother and I did a lot of traveling through our teenage years. We'd save up. Our parents always encouraged us to have our own jobs. And if we saved the money, we could basically do what we wanted to. And so we spent a lot of it traveling and had amazing experiences. And when we came home, we felt the only necessary or best place for us to be for our adventurous souls was to be up north on the lake where we spent a lot of our summers with our parents. And my brother and I, we each had a trailer on our parents' property. My parents had their cabin up the hill. And we're like, what are we going to do from here? And so my brother, Kieran, he went and spoke to a local outfitting company and asked about starting a canoe business. Canoe guiding, outfitting, and they said, why don't you work for us? And so my brother started the beginning of the summer, and I joined in Labor Day weekend. They're looking for an extra guide, and it just grew from there. I feel like the transition from travel back to Western culture was too much for us. We were both away for about 2 years, and being up in the bush, being able to integrate all the experiences. We traveled Australia and a lot of Southeast Asia. I spent a lot of time in the South Pacific Islands, really living that simple life. And this just translated really well. Before we had gone traveling, we had started to explore into Algonquin, where our lake is positioned. You can paddle down a river. So it started off, we were young, paddling our canoe, you know, over to the Crownland beach. And right before traveling, we paddled in with an old family fiberglass boat. We packed in firewood, which obviously is a no-no, barrels full of beer, which was a no-no, and no harnesses, etc. And I remember a friend carrying wood, and we convinced him to come. He had told his dad, who didn't want him to come, he's like, I want to be a man. Let me go on this trip. And he's carrying all this wood on a 250-meter portage. And he's like, I would give my pinky not to have to make this return journey.
Got to burn that wood.
Yeah, exactly. We just had the best time. So, yeah, we came back there after traveling and started guiding. And we guided for that company. Amazing company. I'm about to plug us. Northern Edge Algonquin.
Right.
For 5 years. And then it was just a beautiful transition. They were looking to get out of it and get more into shamanic yoga style retreats on site. And we wanted to spread our wings and do things the way we wanted to, how we envisioned it. And they really supported us in giving us that launch with some of their older gear and just their guidance overall. And that's how it turned out. It started off of like you know, still traveling, you know, having people from all over the world come and being able to spend time with them, spend 3+ days. And that was really a really beautiful transition. And then what it became was we became the locals. There's so many locals on the other side of the world that would drop everything and be like, oh, I got to show you this waterfall, or you got to check out this spot. And then all of a sudden we got to be those friendly locals and repay. And obviously it's grown from there, but that's how it all started.
Cool, cool. Well, so that makes me want to jump. I'm going to jump about 8 miles farther beyond where I was planning to go. That locals idea. So I had a quick look. Do you guys have like 48 reviews on like TripAdvisor? They're all 5 stars, all of them. Thank how you. Awesome is that? Like how rewarding is that to sit back and go, everybody that had anything to say about our stuff all thinks it's we're doing exactly what we wanted to do, right? Like how rewarding is that?
It's beyond. I mean, I've always been a person that has been on a pursuit to find my passion. And even within Driftwood, it's like, how can the business grow as I grow and as my brother grows and as we bring on people and their ideas to fit their passions? And so that just really speaks to that we're on the right path and that we're having an impact on people and that we're doing what we love and it's being really well received. We're so grateful for all the reviews. Like every time going back and reading through them, they're all so different and unique. And we had an author on one of our trips this year, and he said, you guys should write a book called The Long Goodbye. Because when we get back approximately 2 o'clock in the afternoon, people just chill. And I mean, we're not kicking anyone out by any means. We love that afterglow and hanging out in the outdoor shelter, reminiscing and having a swim. We'll have a sauna this year. It just, you can't beat it. You really can't beat it. And so, yeah, we're so grateful. So grateful.
Well, Algonquin is such an iconic park. And you must get people from, I assume, from all over the place that want to come and do your tours.
Yeah. Last year we had families from all over Europe. We had a family from Chile and from the States, across Canada. It's great. It's a sweet spot for people coming together. There's, you know, family from out west and part of the family that lives here in Ontario, or just like coming in from different places. It's such a mutual spot to meet up, to explore Niagara, to explore what else, Toronto, but then to have that trip where everyone is just meeting together and you just bring your duffel bag, bring your suitcase, whatever you got, and get out there and make memories.
Cool. So if I'm not mistaken, all inclusive seems to be the big, looking at your website and stuff, right? Like all inclusive, which is great. It's like I just show up in my clothes. That's pretty cool. That's also a boatload of work for you because you have to supply a bunch of stuff, including some really cool purple. I saw purple canoes. That's awesome. Take me through a standard sort of trip, whether it's however that plays. It's a 1 day, it's a, you know, 2 weeks, whatever. What is sort of a standard package for you guys? And are there variables to it? Like do they have to come and just take all of your stuff? If I show up with all, because I have all the gear and then about 4 more sets of it.
Enough for 4 more.
I got some issues. if I show up with all my gear, can that play as well? I'm just trying to look at what the picture of taking a trip with you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. We meet people where they're at and we take them where they want to go. And I really feel that's, we mimic and co-create with nature. I feel like nature really meets people where they're at and takes them where they need to go and teaches them a lesson, cares for them in some regard, but then also challenges them in the other. So that's what we believe in. We start with an introductory call, like exploration call, where we talk about, hey, what do you want out of this trip? If everything was to go perfect, what would be the outcomes? And then we tailor make the trip. You know, sometimes it's a young family and they want to have like really magical moments. And so we might do a trip where we base camp for the 3 days. Our minimum trips are 3 days, and then we go up from there. We always say, if you have the time and the resources, go for four, go for five, because once you're out there, as you guys know,
I don't want to go home.
Exactly. It always deepens. And we always say this, and not being real salespeople, more service oriented, we're starting to realize that what we do is, as a coach said, a noble cause. And so to like embody speaking what we believe. But after 3 days, it really starts to sink in. The circadian rhythm starts to sync up, but just you get into a bit of a routine, and the stepping outside that comfort zone is now a bit more comfortable, and you're open to receive all the nature's gifts, and you're able to deepen the connections with yourself, with the collective, the group that you're with, and just continue to make these beautiful memories in a place of presence, which I think is getting more difficult in modern society. Getting off track, but so we have that call, and then we get people completely set up. Of course, we talk about dietary, what kind of food. We love cooking on the fire. We love getting people involved, and we love food and making sure that people are really surprised. We don't utilize time on our trip because we don't believe it even has a place in the backcountry. When you talk about time, you think about, I got to be at this appointment, or I should be eating, or should be tired or sleeping, or in the backcountry, just let that all go. And we don't worry about the menu. Telling people, you say, if you're hungry, we got a barrel full of food and there'll be snacks, whatever you want. We got something for you. And then in terms of like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's going to be a surprise. We've already taken care of your dietary, so it's a surprise. Far too few surprises in this world, and embrace it. And even the people that are like, I'm not a surprise person, they let it go. And
you are now.
Yeah, exactly. And it really, it ends up being one of their highlights. You know, where at first is like, when are we going to be there? What's for dinner? Is some of the things of more of like the type A personality, which I find interesting enough, often get so much out of the trip. They're the ones that end up in the hammock and have a 3-hour snooze on day two. And they're like, I haven't rested that well in so long. And they're more of like the, what are we doing now? What are we doing now? And you know, go find yourself, go hang out, go sit by the water. I mean, we do a lot through the day, but we make sure that there's that time for relaxation, recalibration, reflection. So yeah, depending on the group, it can be a very intrepid, moving people that want to like cover ground and have that more fitness-based trip and like to do a loop. But then there's also, like I mentioned, the base camp, and then you can do light day trips, young families, base camp, and then we can hop in the boat and paddle down to a beach or go find a waterfall or go for a sunrise paddle to go check out moose, like in my background there. They're all so unique, and that's why I love it. It's for me and my brother, it's like we're getting invited on everyone's family vacation or everyone's vacation, and we get to really share what we feel, and we like to think of ourselves as fairly intuitive, what's going to really, you know, knock their socks off. And they don't have to worry about anything. We got first aid handled, everything's handled. And so it's like, hey, this is going to blow your socks, or this is going to be great. And you can co-create and flow as the trip goes on.
Very much in a, you cover all the details, they get the experience.
Totally, yeah.
To just soak all that in. That's, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all, like, we have to paddle 47 kilometers today. You know, there are days I really hate myself.
For sure. And sorry to if people want to bring their own gear, by all means, it's just great to set people up if people don't have their own gear or if they're unsure, because we know what we have is sufficient and very comfortable and higher end for what we're doing. And so then we don't have to worry about And they don't have to worry about, is this the right sleeping bag? Am I going to be cozy enough with this sleeping mat? Is this tent going to withstand a rainstorm or some wind? It's like, there's no worries that way. And we send you a packing list for clothing, and we can, you know, we can chat about, should I add something, especially for the shoulder seasons, in terms of like quality gear. But yeah, think about it. How many times do you go away and not have to think about a single thing? It's pretty awesome. I mean, I'd love to go on one of my trips, to be honest with you. it's great that way.
Yeah, no, reading through the website, and it's like, oh, you guys take care of everything. I literally have to show up with clothes. Like, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. There are varying levels of backcountry trips for those of us that do it for ourselves. As I get older, I keep sort of sliding to more towards we're going to have more stay days.
Yeah.
We're not going to plow through all the time. We're going to drag 2 days of fresh food in with us before we hit the dehydrated stuff. Mm. Sorry, there's a perfect segue for, at least for me. Gourmet is a thing that kept coming up in all the reviews. don't give us any secrets. What is it that you guys do that makes everybody go like, the meals are so good? No. Have you eaten dehydrated meals before? What? Yes, they're okay, but come on. How do you do the gourmet?
Yeah, I have a passion for cooking, and where we guided with Northern Edge, their chef over there was also created the menu for them, and so already it started building into it. And then I've taken it from there, added my passions with so many dietary. It gets your mind thinking, like, how can I make this vegan? How can I make this gluten-free? And yeah, just on a 3 to 5 day trip, you can cook basically with fresh ingredients the whole time. So we rarely use dehydrated. I might start exploring those options in terms of making my own dehydrated for the longer trips, but yeah, fresh ingredients, making like, you know, real tasty pastas, soups, hearty wraps, delicious breakfasts, and just adding those extra touches where people just wouldn't think about it. And often they say, I'm going to try and make this at home. We should make this at home. And I love food. So I just know how it speaks to people, and I know how the body actually craves food out in the backcountry where you're actually hungry and you actually feel like you fueled yourself and nourished to a different degree, that it just hits different. And so if beans and hot dogs can taste amazing in the backcountry, can you imagine what restaurant quality food tastes in the backcountry?
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. I'm just going to throw it out there. If you choose to get into dehydrating stuff, because we do. I'm pretty hardcore about that.
Yeah.
Kevin Ride has a Backcountry Eats dehydrating book, and it's recipes as opposed to individual ingredients, which a lot of people do.
Amazing.
He does recipes, and if you're a food guy, you can tweak that stuff. It's amazing. Like he makes stuff that you go out, rehydrate, and put it in your face and go, oh, that was good, man. I might actually have that at home. I mean, when you're out for, you know, when you're hitting day 9 or whatever,
yeah,
anything that's not a granola bar tastes really good, but just saying, just throwing it out there for you.
Totally. That's definitely an area I'd love to explore. So we're going to have to chat on that. I don't have too much experience at all with making my own dehydrated. I've definitely tried out the different packages and they've been handy and I've always felt satiated. But yeah, making my own would be cool. Would be really cool. And so I definitely would love to chat further on that.
Cool. Well, we'll do that. Cause yeah, you can tweak stuff and make it be some pretty yummy stuff.
Thanks, Dad.
All right, cool.
So it sounds like you can make the person's experience be perfect basically, but you can't control the weather. So what happens? Like if somebody's booked a 3 day trip and it rains for 2 of those 3 days.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely happened. You embrace it, you know, you embrace it. And I feel like, well, I know in nature, it's a lot about attitude. And so I'm getting a lot more into, you know, how am I feeling right now? How can, like, what's the best case scenario here? And so you can swim in the rain. as long as there's no thunder, lightning, you can dance in the rain. You can, you know, hang out under the tarp and be cozy under, like, around a fire in the rain. It tends to be very homey and cozy. I mean, anyone who's slept in a tent in the rain knows how cozy it is and how grateful you are. So I embrace them. I mean, ideally you don't have it for the whole trip, but I honestly think that some of the best adventures are the ones that, you know, you have to experience that type two fun, as the Dirtbag Diaries talk about, where it's a bit more adversity and you appreciate when the sun comes out. You're like, wow, like, this is awesome. It feels so warm and things start to dry out. Yeah, it's cool to experience nature in all its forms. I thought about it. I get to philosophize a lot about it, being in a boat. I call it, like, between paddle strokes, just thinking about life and how it relates and the metaphors in nature. And it's like a relationship. If we talk about the honeymoon stage, and it's like 25 and sunny for, like, the first while when you're getting to know someone and you really appreciate the person, you like them, but do you really love them? And I don't think you really can love someone until you experience them in all their forms. And so when you experience nature in all its forms, it's wind, it's gusts, it's rain, it's heat, it's dampness, then you're getting this, like, reverence and this deep visceral love for it. And I think that's all part of it. And I know that I'm getting deep and this is, like, more of, like, a backcountry yogi experience, but even as a family, like, you know, facing that challenge together and coming out smiling or not even coming out, being in it, smiling and thriving, not just surviving, is a rite of passage for people.
I know I'm getting deep. No, that's cool. That's fine. Like, that's, I think that's part of the psyche of what all of us that love nature, like, that's all part of the package is getting that backcountry yogi going.
Well, many people have said, similar to what you said about how the most memorable trips were the ones that didn't necessarily go perfectly and everything went hunky-dory and as planned.
Yeah.
Something came up and that made it more memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had 2 5-days and in my one with a buddy I met in Vietnam motorcycling. He's from New Zealand and we went on a trip and it rained every day. The whole time we're like, it's perfect. We come out of the tent, it's perfect. And there's, like, it was a colder rain in the summer. It was just a cold spell. And there were some times where, like, you know, we got into camp late and we were really cold, setting up a tarp and then our tent underneath and a fire. And we just said perfect the whole time. And, like, we look back on that trip as legit perfect. And it was uncomfortable a lot, but it was so magnificent. And then I ran a men's group this year, a group of 4 men. And it was, again, and this was, like, end of September. And it was really quite, I wouldn't say, it was cold. And we were wet. And even, like, our Terex gear, like, soaks through eventually. And we literally had 15 minutes of sun and maybe 15 minutes of stars. It was such an epic trip. And the breakthroughs that we all had on it, I often facilitate a debrief at the end of the trip, but then have a conversation if the groups are open to it, you know, say 2 weeks after or a month after, like, hey, like, now that it's integrated and, like, how are you showing up differently?
Now that you've taken a breath and you've had time to absorb it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so profound. Like, the experiences, I think of one, and it was right before the sun came out. We had a big paddle on the last day. We got a fire going the night before, despite it raining like crazy. And it was so, like, uplifting for our spirits. I mean, we had a great time the whole time, but, like, it was cold and wet and we were just kind of tired of the rain. Got a fire going the last day, we're paddling. I gave one of the guys, the map, a good friend of mine, that he kind of organized the group. And I'm like, you got this. And so they're up ahead. He's like, he's taking, like, that leadership role. I'm tail guiding with the other two. We get to this falls and it's kind of a bit too cold to swim in it. but we're, you know, we're just amongst it. And we, like, we have a group huddle and we're really celebrating, go to the end of the portage and making lunch. And we hear one of the guys just screaming, ah! And the other three guys are like kind of concerned, but I could tell that, I don't know, just intuitively, I was like, he's fine. But just the other three guys were like, are you sure? And I'm like, I'm sure he's fine, but I'll walk up the trail. And he's coming down and he's like, he's crying. And I'm like, you good? And he's like, he let like this little smile go. And he had this like amazing, profound breakthrough of, he had three sons and recognizing that his middle son wasn't really feeling seen in by him. And he had this, like, saw these trees, and it was just like what all came together on like a 5-day, just being out there, the potency of it. And I mean, flash forward to the debrief at, like, 2 weeks after. And he's like, I went home, I spent time with that, like, with all my family, but I really made sure I spent time with that middle son. And he told me that he loved me, and he hadn't said that in so long. So, like, these are the things that are happening on trip that, you know, it rains not stopping these things.
Yay.
It's amazing.
Yay.
Yeah.
So I've got one more question, and then I want a story from you, young man.
Okay.
We've had a few stories.
We like, well, okay, but I, you're right. We have had stories. I shouldn't be so greedy.
I'll dig.
More.
Being a backcountry camper for the most part, as much as I can, I know how hard it is to book backcountry campsites. How does I know you guys are in the north, you're in the northwest corner of Algonquin, so maybe slightly less popular, a little less traffic up there, maybe more availability, but how do you book sites? Because Gonterra Parks it's a bit of a nightmare sometimes, right?
Yeah. We've been fortunate just to trust the process and book things. Like, we've never booked ahead of time planning to book a trip. Like, I mean, maybe at one point we will do that, but we're campers at heart. So we don't want to book ahead of time and deprive someone else of that's already has their trip planned. And so if people book later, then we just like see what's available and we make a trip out of it. We're fortunate that we have North Tee as, you know, 235 site arms of that lake, and then some little pocket ones that we can, you know, push to. And so, yeah, we trust the process and knock on wood, it's always worked out.
How many trips on average would you do in a year?
I mean, we're still growing. Last year was 25, and so last year we had our first employee. So it was me, my brother, and an employee, a good friend that we trained up named Troy, and he was amazing. And yeah, so the three of us, we ran about 25 trips.
Sweet. That's awesome.
And what's your sort of season, like, you start and ice out and right through till
I assume soft water season, but do you do stuff in, sorry, tell us what the soft water season is.
No.
And then do you get into hard? Do you do anything in the hard water season?
Yeah. Thanks. The season's always been expanding. Before, I would have been like a July to September person, like, oh, the bugs, etc. But again, I've learned to experience in all its forms. So yeah, I've guided trips in April, and our last trip was like November 12th last year. And I mean, it was an amazing weekend. It was warmer than some weekends in September. And we're very upfront with people. And if they want to do it in the colder potential for like snow, et cetera, then we go for it. I love the beginning part of the season, as soon as the ice is out, especially getting more into like cold exposure, going for the dip, cold water dip, getting by the fire, you know, the higher water levels. There's this great waterfalls that I love to, like, you know, navigate up through it. In like swimwear and like shoes, and then like have a fire at the end. That's super awesome. So yeah, right through, even in June, we have a couple trips booked in June, and you know, you tell people about the flies, but we wear like the original bug shirts, which we love. They're from around our area. And again, you learn to appreciate, you find that island with that breeze, and or just be out in the breeze, and it helps. And I mean, they die off at certain times, Hardwater, I've been running trips, hot tenting trips in the last few years, and people love it, especially people that come on canoe trips. And then they try the, we go snowshoeing and we haul our gear. Depending on the group, I can either wait for them to set up the tent, or I set it up ahead of time, depending on the experience. And to sleep out in, you know, 25, 30 degrees and in the middle of the woods, it's so quiet and still, cooking over the outdoor fire, staying moving, producing our own heat, but then, you know, retiring to the cozy tent is awesome. And people really love it. I was definitely apprehensive our first weekend that we did it, where with people that were fairly new to camping, and it was like minus 25, minus 30, and they loved it. And so we'll definitely be looking into doing more of that, probably like a 6-week window. I'd love to travel in the winters as well. So offer like a 6-week window and then travel for a chunk of the winter.
So obviously you get to get a little bit of a break sometimes too.
Yeah. Right. And then also I'd love to offer trips in Argentina and et cetera in the Southern Hemisphere during our winter as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome. Like a terrible lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just as big as I can dream. I'm not taking anything off the table. And it's amazing when you start thinking about it. One of my really close friends, he's like, I have two cousins that are like in their 40s, and one's a mountain guide and one's a river guide in Argentina. And so that, how epic would a trip like that be, you know, climb a mountain and then paddle a river in January.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be terrible.
Yeah. Let's do this.
That's cool. So I'm curious. I'm not going to bug you for a story because we're a little tight on time now.
And okay,
we did get some from you, so I'll give you a pass there. do you, as it evolves, because as with everything, do you have specific, this is where I want to go with it, this is what I want to do with it, or is it just sort of an organic, like doing additional hikes to Argentina or whatever? Like, is it just, let's see how it goes? If something occurs to us, let's talk about it. Like, I make the assumption you and your brother have a yak, and then yeah, go, sure. Or nah, I don't know. I'm not sure that's going to play out.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Great question. It's always been organic for us, and we never wanted to invest too much time and money into pigeonholing ourselves into a certain demographic or a certain, oh, that's what these guys do, and that's just what we do. We've always wanted the business to be able to grow as we grow, rather than us having to not grow or grow in a certain way to fit the business. And we're grateful for an opportunity to do that. Right now, we're really focusing on co-collaborating. So I'm running a yoga trip this year with a contact, good friend of mine that's a yogi. I'm doing my yoga teaching as we speak as well. I'm running a nature therapy trip. I'm running a natural movement trip. These are all co-creations with people. So like building that community. And then my personal passion is men's work. And so I love men's work and I love families. And I think that me working with men and getting them to, you know, having a deeper connection to themselves, a deeper connection to nature, able to transition from work life to home life, to deal with the emotions that they have in themselves, just understand emotions that are coming through and how to feel more light and free, and so that they can feel more present in their work life, in their home life, in their relationships. And then ultimately for them to feel empowered in the backcountry with these like primal skills that, you know, a couple generations we were all utilizing. So it's very much in our blood to take their families out into nature and to feel empowered in doing so, as opposed to them just feeling like they're starting fresh with the family, which I don't think there's anything wrong with, but that feeling of I'm taking my family out. And I have these skills to share with them. Like, dad already knows how to light a fire at this point, knows how to set up the tent, and he knows how to paddle. And so he feels I know in a primal sense, it just feels more primal and feels more like I got this and
empowered. Yeah.
empowered, and the family feels like, wow, dad's got this. And like seeing him in a different light from his job, coming home in a suit or in coveralls or whatever. And then my dream is for these people to look at travel and look at experiences totally differently. Like say if they even want to go to Costa Rica or Asia, that they're looking for more of these intrepid experiences where they're able to come together as a team and overcome something, that they're creating stories and they're creating magical moments. And moments can happen, can be at 5 seconds, they can be a minute, but being open to this is a really opportunity, great opportunity to like have this moment with my son or with my daughter or with my partner. Because I really feel like that's what anchors emotions, and that's the depth of the human experience. And that's what I want to facilitate. That's what we are facilitating.
Thanks for coming out, man. Yeah. Seriously, that was awesome.
That's it for us for today. Thank you so much to our very special guest, Chris Kelly from Driftwood Paddle Algonquin. We so enjoyed having our chat with him, and we look forward to maybe talking to him again soon. We will be talking to you again soon, we hope. Please do reach out to us. We are at hi@supergoodcamping.com. That's hi@supergoodcamping.com. And we are on all the social media, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.